So I'd like to first of all express my joy and happiness to be once again amongst all of you for this Sunday program. So I have chosen a topic today which I hope is relevant for all of you, no matter whether you are coming for many years or you're here the first time. By the way, let me ask, do we have anybody here who is visiting us for the very first time today? Okay, we do have some people. So a special welcome to you. We are always happy when new people show some interest in our lifestyle and our philosophy and so on. And you will be okay with English language? Yes? Otherwise, there is also translation going on. So for those who need translation, you have to get one of those little head things there. And then you will hear parallel the Slovenian translation. Okay. Yeah, so I took the topic today being when we feel offended. Being offended. I think this should be a very relevant topic for every one of us, right? Because so often in our life we encounter this situation that for some reason we feel offended. And yeah, sometimes it's not so easy to work out how to deal with this feeling and what to do about it. And I'm the type of person, I always like to get to the roots of problems. So I like to simply give some little understanding today where this feeling of being offended actually comes from. Because unless we are in knowledge of that, what is the root cause of this phenomenon, then also not so easy to understand how we deal with it and how what we can do to avoid that we feel offended like that. So just to give me some time frame, when should I finish with the talk, including question and answer? 4:30. Wow, that gives me only half an hour. Okay, so I will try my best to say something little meaningful here in 1 hour. And half an hour, not 1 hour. Okay, so before we talk about this feeling of being offended, let me first highlight a little bit the importance of tolerance. That actually, in spiritual perspectives, tolerance is a highly important quality to develop. In fact, it is the criteria by which we can measure a person's spiritual advancement and their spiritual strength in how much a person can tolerate. And this is very much, it's directly opposite to what the material worldview says. From a material point of view, to tolerate is actually seen as a weakness. Isn't it? Yes. It is seen as a weakness that we cannot defend ourselves, we cannot stand up for ourselves. You know, we allow people to trample on us or something. So this principle is there actually throughout spiritual practice, that whatever is considered success in material life is considered to be a failure in spiritual life. And the opposite. What's a success in spiritual life is considered to be a failure in weakness in material life. That's why even in Bhagavad Gita 2:69, Krishna says, what is day to the materialist is night for the introspective sage. And what is day to the spiritualist is night for the common person. So, yes, you know, material, actually this comes about because material life is based on a worldview where sense gratification is the all in all. Whereas spiritual life is based on the worldview where sense gratification is considered to be distracting, and we actually want to give up this attraction for sense gratification. We want to lose the taste. So these different worldviews are so opposite. In one, sense gratification is the all in all, and the other one, sense gratification is the lowest. You know, so no wonder that this reflects throughout material and spiritual practice and its cultures. That principle is carried through, right? And therefore also in material and spiritual life, to be tolerant is one of the most important qualities, whereas in spiritual and material life, it is considered a failure and a weakness. And let us understand, why is this quality of tolerance so important? Because actually, behind being able to tolerate is the fact that the false ego is gradually dissolved and subdued. Because it is actually the false ego which protests, which rebels, which finds it difficult to tolerate some certain challenging situation. So, understanding that, and I have to be a little brief and in the nutshell here because we are limited in time, but understanding all that makes it very clear that yes, tolerance is so glorious because, and it is a direct indication of how, of advancement in spiritual life, because it means the false ego is subdued and almost dissolved. And that is a sign of spiritual progress, of advancement. Because ultimately to go back home, back to Godhead, for those who are coming regularly, we know that the subtle body of mind, intelligence, false ego has to be completely dissolved and spiritualized and transformed. And only then we can get out of this material world. But while there is some material aspects in the subtle body there, then that subtle body will force us to take birth again. So that's why it is a sign of spiritual advancement if the subtle element of the subtle body, the false ego, is subdued and dissolved. Right? And I mean, there's many verses. Actually, maybe I should share at least one of them, which describes the Vaishnav quality of tolerance. This is from the Bhagavatam, not Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 18th chapter, verse 48. It says there, the devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, they are cheated, they are cursed, they're disturbed, they're neglected, or they're even killed. They are never inclined to avenge themselves. Wow. This is quite astounding, you know? And in the purport, I just copied a couple of phrases of that same purport that their purport says. As such, the devotees are never inclined to counteract personal defamation, curses, or negligence. As far as such things are concerned, in personal affairs, the devotees do not care for them. But in the case of their being performed against the Lord and his devotees, then the devotees take very strong action. So that's basically the Vaishnav mood. That's the quality of tolerance, that whatever happens directly towards us, even if we are insulted or neglected or defamed or whatever it may be, we don't mind. We humbly tolerate it. Actually, devotees' quality and vision mood is that a devotee thinks, actually, I deserve so much more heavy treatment than what I'm getting. And actually, Krishna is so kind to me. He only gives me one drop of what I really deserve. That's actually an expression of humility. If we can have that vision, that whatever nasty things a person may do towards me, actually I deserve so many more nasty things. But Krishna is just so kind and merciful. He actually only gives me one tiny little drop of what I really deserve. So with that humble attitude, actually that empowers a devotee to tolerate anything, actually. You know? Of course, let me limit it a little bit and say, obviously, if there is some really heavy abuse going on or something, because sometimes when I say these things, people may, because these modern days, there's so much abuse going on, you know, towards women, towards children, so many things. So sometimes also men are abused by women. This is also coming. You know, so abusive situations, of course, you know, there we may have to reveal our mind to a trusting, confidential, well-wishing friend, a mentor, and then let that person defend us and try and make sure something will be adjusted. Because this is also what the purport says, that actually a person, when these things happen to themselves, they should not defend. But if it happens towards Krishna or his devotees, some other devotees, then we should step in. Right? So, and if we actually would all follow this recommendation, then definitely no abusive situations would be going on unaddressed. Right? If we would actually act like that, that if something bad happens towards us, we humbly tolerate, but if we see another devotee mistreated, then we speak up. But actually, very often we do it the other way round. You know? When something happens towards us, then we are in the whole defending mentality. But if something nasty happens to somebody else, we turn the head the other way and we say, oh, well, that's none of my business and I don't want to stick my head up and I might ruin my relationships if I say something about this. You know? But actually, no, we should do the other way around. We should always be ready to protect others when we see they're mistreated. But for ourselves, we should humbly tolerate. And also, I mean, we know nothing happens without Krishna being in control, right? Not a blade of grass is moving without Krishna being in control. So naturally, a devotee always has that mood. Well, why is Krishna putting me in this situation? What does he want to teach me? There must be something Krishna wants me to learn here. Otherwise, how can it be that I'm in a certain situation? So, and also, you know, we know that, well, maybe I have mistreated somebody else heavily, or maybe that same person, maybe in my previous life, I have mistreated that person. And now maybe I'm getting just a tiny fraction back of what I was giving that person in my previous life. Right? So in this, all these things put together, in this way a Vaishnava has this humble mood of tolerating whatever comes towards him or herself. But for other persons, we are ready to stand up and protect them. And I mean, in regards to tolerance, our most famous examples are always Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur. They're tolerated so much. And they were never inclined to defend or to curse that person or do something nasty back to them or something. No. And in regards to Haridas Thakur, there is that sweet aspect that actually when he was beaten so heavily by Muslims and they were trying to stop him from chanting Hare Krishna, because he tolerated, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared and he actually accepted that beating on his own back. This is quite amazing how Krishna protects actually. And later Lord Chaitanya shows Haridas Thakur his back and he sees all these beating marks on Lord Chaitanya's back. And he's asking, my God, my dear Lord, where did you get this from? And then actually Mahaprabhu explains and he says, yes, I actually came to protect you. And I accepted that beating on my back. So that's how actually a devotee attracts the Lord's, you know, well-wishing glances, and actually how a devotee attracts his heart by tolerating. Yes. So such a devotee who tries to tolerate without fighting back, yeah, is very, very, becomes very dear to Mahaprabhu. And of course, in regards to tolerance, we have to very nicely distinguish between suppressing things and actually truly tolerating. They are two different matters. Sometimes people may say, oh, well, but when I tolerate, all this negativity builds up in me and builds up and all these bad feelings until I just explode and I can't handle it anymore. So truly tolerating, when we truly tolerate, this will not happen. This happens only that things build up when we simply suppress things. But then internally, the whole ego battle continues. Internally, we continue this whole argument. Oh, actually, this was not fair. How can they treat me like this? And actually, I was right and they were wrong. And. You know, so that's not tolerating. That's just suppressing the emotions, the negativity. It's like putting them in the bottle and putting the cork on the bottle, you know, but then inside the bottle it's all cooking up and increasing and until the bottle explodes. So that's not what we call tolerating, actually. Tolerating means we see things in connection with Krishna in the picture. And we have that humble mood. I actually deserve so much more neglect. But Krishna is so kind, he only gives me one drop. If we have truly that vision, that mood, then things will not increase there and cook up inside and the negativity increases. That only happens if we cannot see our situation with Krishna in the picture. And we cannot see that obviously Krishna wants to teach us something. And if we don't have that connection between our situation and Krishna in the picture, then we cannot tolerate. Yes. And actually this is really what it means to be Krishna conscious. That we can see our situation with Krishna in the picture. That we can make that connection. And then we can ask ourselves, what is Krishna trying to teach me? What is the lesson which I'm meant to learn here? Obviously, there's a reason that Krishna gives me this situation. So this is actually what it means to be Krishna conscious. And if we have that vision, we can tolerate. We can tolerate. We may need the help of a well-wishing friend, a mentor, who helps us to develop that vision. But as we strive to have that vision, we will increase our ability to tolerate. So this was just a little introduction to the phenomenon of feeling offended. So we have only 10 minutes for the actual topic. So let us see how far we get. let us put it this way, that actually being offended, once we understand the importance of tolerance, we can actually understand that being offended actually goes to the root cause of an inability to tolerate, actually. So when we get offended, it indicates that it is very difficult for us to be tolerant. Then the feeling of being offended comes about. And yes, of course it is also, actually I can share with you, I'm at the moment in the process of putting my third book together on the topic of the false ego. We had on my last visit, we had the seminar on this topic, and I want to put this in book form because it is such a highly important topic, this false ego. The title is The False Ego, Our Constant Companion and Troublemaker. And saying this, it's not that I'm free from my false ego. No, actually this seminar, giving this again and again, has given me a lot of insights how my own false ego gets in my ways and is my constant companion and also troublemaker, and it has given me a lot of things to work on. And that's why I like to preach about this, hoping that also other people get something out of this and it gives them something to work on. So, and in this book, there is also a chapter which I have in front of me here, being offended. It is part of the whole false ego discussion. So obviously, as we introduced, tolerance is very much connected with false ego. As we dissolve false ego, we can become more tolerant. And being offended, I always jokingly say to devotees, it's not one of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, being offended. Because, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't believe, this is very sad, that so often we have this happening, that something happens, some sharp words are exchanged, and then somebody gets offended, and then they don't want to come anymore to the temple, and they don't want to serve anymore. And often we carry this being offended with us for many, many years. And this really obstructs us immensely, and actually can eat us up internally. And I find this just such an important topic to shed a little bit of light on this phenomena of being offended, because I think everyone here in the room, including myself, we have, I'm sure, encountered so many situations where we feel offended. And the main interesting thing is actually that we tend to think the problem lies in the other persons who offended us. But actually, the problem lies in ourselves. Actually, we are the ones who carry, you know, this feeling of being offended with us. So it's actually our problem. Actually, when we detect this feeling of being offended, it is almost a warning indicator that it shows us that, you know, we have to look within ourselves, and there are some unresolved things we have to work on, actually. And being offended is actually, in one sense, it's a choice we are making. We can either be offended or not offended. It's actually in our hands. It is not a condition inflicted or imposed upon us by others. This is interesting to understand. Actually, when I put this chapter together, I even Googled being offended. Usually I don't take much from internet and all this. But I thought, oh, let me see what people say there, you know. And I came across some very good words of wisdom, which I include in my book, because I thought, wow, you know, even people who are not practicing bhakti yoga, they are actually understanding deeper things about being offended. And they even understand that the real problem lies in us. And I mean, sometimes we may even be offended just by hearing the truth. This is a pretty common thing, you know. We hear the truth, but we get offended. So, I mean, then, you know, it indicates that, well, maybe there is something which we just have not deeply understood, you know, and that's why we may get offended. Or we even may get offended when we get corrected. I mean, how often does that happen, right? That somebody corrects us and we get offended. Very common, very common. But now we have to understand, actually the person who corrects us, he's our best friend and well-wisher. He actually shows us where we have to work on and where we have to improve. You know? He's the best well-wishing friend. We have also the saying, the person who glorifies us, he is actually our enemy. But the person who corrects us and chastises us, he is our best well-wishing friend. Yes. So often we get offended. Or sometimes we even imagine things and we get offended about something which is only happening in our minds. And the other person doesn't even realize. And it's all going on in our minds. And boo, it's all escalating in the mind. And we may get so offended. And we're just imagining things. You know, yeah. I mean, the mind is quite creative, you know. The mind comes up with so many amazing things and connections. Why this person said that and actually it was all about me. They meant me and this and that and, huh, what? Nobody even was talking about that person. You know, so all kinds of amazing things come about, you know. So let us at least understand, actually our heart is like a sacred place. And when we develop resentments, you all understand, some negative feelings, you know, about towards somebody, that's resentment, when we resent somebody or something. So we are offended and we carry this negativity in us, that's what we call in English resentments. So when resentments develop, it means, you know, we cannot let go of this internal ego battle towards a person or towards a situation. And actually our false ego cries for justice. That's actually what's behind it. That our false ego is suffering. That pain we may feel from being offended, it can actually be almost a physical pain, right? We may have had that experience. So that pain comes not from the soul or something. It actually comes from this false ego. And it's the false ego crying for justice, for fairness. You know? And once we understand that, you know, when we carry this with us, it actually means the false ego cannot let go of this demand to have justice and fairness. And by maintaining these resentments, we actually allow all this negativity to live in the sacred place of our heart. And we maintain it there. And we allow it to spread some toxic effect. This is actually what's happening. So being offended only magnifies that same negative energy which offended us in the first place. Right? We take that up and we maintain that and magnify that negativity. That's what resentments bring along, and that feeling of being offended. So actually we poison our heart by hanging on to this resentment rather than letting it go and move on. You know? Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's of course so many more nice things to say. I have a whole chapter here of forgiveness meditations, or nice statements about forgiveness. And because forgiveness and being offended, again, they're very closely connected. So obviously when we are offended, it means we can't forgive. But just one good thing we should remember, that forgiving does not mean that this negative activity towards us becomes right. No, it doesn't mean that. Because that's often why we don't want to forgive. Because we think, if I forgive some really inappropriate behavior, then the other person feels it was correct, it was right. But no, forgiveness does not erase the bitter past. And it doesn't make bad things right. Forgiveness simply means that we let go of the resentment, and only then we can move on. But by hanging on to these resentments, we allow the negativity from the past to affect the future. But by forgiving, we allow a relationship to have a new start. And it doesn't mean we erase the memory. No, no, we do remember. But we forgive. And in that way, we give a relationship a chance for a new start. But if we hang on to this resentment and we don't forgive and we maintain this feeling of being offended, then we block ourselves from moving on, and we block that relationship, and we don't allow things to grow and become positive. Yes, I mean, as I'm saying, there's so many more things to say. Do we have time for a quick question, or shall we just finish on that note? Or what do we do?
For most of them, this is the only kirtan in a week. If we squeeze this kirtan,
then... Okay. All right, so sorry that there's no time for further discussion or something, what to do. But I simply hope that in a year's time I can show you the book, and then you get the whole topic in a more completed way. No, Puruji was indicating that we want to start with a kirtan. All I want to do is quickly bring your attention to some events and things which I'm doing in India, just in case somebody is planning to go to India. We will have a holy name retreat in Eka Chakra Dham over Christmas. Eka Chakra is Nityananda's birthplace. Very sweet and deep experience, very wonderful place. And then throughout the January, we have 5 courses, one after the other. So December, January is actually a very nice time to visit Mayapur. I personally find it much more enlightening than being there during the festival Gopanim season when so much action is happening. But January, we can actually get something deeper and something we can really take home and work on in our spiritual life and so on. And then also, as you heard, I have compiled 2 books and I have a few copies here with me. One of them is Spiritual Culture, Krishna's Divine System. Many of you have it already, but maybe there's somebody who doesn't. It's actually all about the important role we women are playing, that our feminine energy is very, very powerful. And we can really be the power of inspiration to all men around us, not only in marriage, or we can actually create havoc. And it's all based on Bhagavatam, what Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on. And the other book is all about the importance of mentorship. And definitely in regards to false ego, we don't have much chance to really learn to subdue the false ego unless we have the help of a well-wishing mentor who helps us to see when our ego is in the way and blocking us and creating misery for us and so on. So if anybody's interested, €9, donation for €9, I would be very honored to put it in your hands. Okay, thank you kindly for your attention and let us have kirtan. Srila Prabhupada ki, Swami Veda Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.